Now, knowing that I had only limited time today because I'm going to be booking out of here at 10:30 to get to that 11 o'clock service, which I hope you will be able to join me for, I decided to do something a little different, and that's to give you an inside peek of how the sermon is written. So in taking a scripture, we have that big word exegesis, where you take a little bit of the scripture and you go through and say, okay, what does that mean, and what does that mean, and what is the context around this, and then build a sermon around it. I stopped at the exegesis. So this is your sermon today based on 1 Kings 3, 3 through 20. So the first scripture we read is, Solomon loved the Lord and followed all of his father David's instructions, except that he continued to sacrifice in the hills to offer incense there. Now, the most famous of the hilltop altars was at Gibeon. And now the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. And the Lord appeared to him in a dream that night and told him to ask for anything he wanted, and it would be given to him. Now, in those first few verses, we see that Solomon loved the Lord. Well, what does that mean, that he loved the Lord? In the context, it means that he placed God first in his life, above all earthly things. And he followed all of his father David's instructions, which would have been given to David by God. So he also was faithful to and obedient to his father David and to God. Scripture also tells us that Solomon was generous. Now, can you imagine how long it would take and how much money it would take to do what he did, to offer 1,000 sacrifices? Just think of the time and the expense. Now, at the time, if you recall, cattle, sheep, livestock, etc., could be currency. So that's a big deal. And not only that, but when somebody made an honorable sacrifice, they took the best of the cattle, the best of the livestock. So Solomon wasn't thinking, how can I invest in the most likely mission? Or, heaven forbid, I hate to waste all that meat by just burning it. So Solomon pours out his love for the Lord in spades by offering this generous offering, knowing that what we give to God comes back to us in a myriad of blessings. And God tells Solomon, because God is pleased, to ask for anything he wants. So, in our next scripture, Solomon replied, "You were so wonderful and kind to my father David because he was honest and true and faithful and obeyed your commands." So David did all of these things, right? And God was kind to him. "And you have continued your kindness to him by giving him a son to succeed him. O Lord, my God, now you have made me king, succeeding my father. But I am young, and I don't know my way around. And here I am, among your chosen people, a nation so great that there are almost too many people to count." So Solomon begins by praising God, right? Did you catch that? Before thinking of himself, you can have anything you want. Before thinking of himself, he praises God. And then he immediately humbles himself. Solomon is just a little freaked out, to say the least. He's gotten in what he considers over his head. He's been given David's throne. Yeah, that David. How do you follow an act like that? Solomon realizes that there are a lot of people counting on him, and he is not equipped to do what his father David did. And he realizes he absolutely cannot do this by himself. He makes his choice on what to ask for from God. Give me wisdom so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between what is right and what is wrong. For who by himself is able to carry such a heavy responsibility? Solomon's choice pleases God because it's unselfish. He asks for wisdom, and he explains why he wants wisdom. He wants wisdom so that he can govern God's people well, and so he can know the difference between right and wrong. Solomon humbles himself once again, knowing that he cannot begin to do this without God. And the Lord is so pleased with his reply and was glad that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So he replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people, and you haven't asked for a long life or riches for yourself or the defeat of your enemies, you didn't ask for any of these things. Yes, I will give you what you ask for. I will give you a wiser mind than anyone else has ever had or will ever have. And I will also give you what you didn't ask for, riches and honor. And no one in the whole world ever will be as rich and as famous as you. And I will give you a long life if you follow me and obey my laws, as your father David did." So we see Solomon putting God first in all things, in all things. And he humbles himself with such an unselfish request that God tells him that he will give him everything else on top of that. A scripture tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. And when we do this, all these things will be added on to us if we seek God first. Now, Solomon, the king's son, would have grown up in the palace, right? And he would have been very, very educated. But he realizes that intelligence is not equal to wisdom. Have you ever known anybody really super, super, super smart, but they have zero common sense? It's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Our scripture then tells us that Solomon woke up and he returned to Jerusalem and went into the tabernacle. And as he stood there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, he sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. And he invited all of his officials to a great banquet. So when Solomon wakes up, where does he go first before anything else? He goes to church. He goes to be with God. And then what does he do? He thoroughly expects God to fulfill his promises. He believes and he praises God in faith. Then he invites everyone to celebrate the greatness of God. He throws a party. God gave Solomon a gift. This is a light that needs to shine before all people. And Solomon models for us that we must also celebrate our gifts that we have been given and share them with the world. Party on. You have a gift. James 1:5 tells us, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." So, in looking at this whole scripture, we wonder, how do we get wisdom? How do we grow in wisdom? Solomon has modeled this for us. You honor God by putting him first above all things in your life. You humble yourself. And that's a hard thing for any of us to do, to humble ourselves. You make your request in line with God's will. So if we ask for, I want $1 million, that's probably not in God's will. But if we ask for something in God's will, we will be granted it. And then we have to believe, ask that God will bless you. And then, don't forget, this is important too, to celebrate. When God moves in your life, when you see God at work, it is important for us to celebrate that. It's important for us to honor God and share it with everybody, to celebrate. These are the things that Solomon did to gain wisdom. This is the path that the scripture models for us today. In James 4:10, this to me really speaks of what Solomon modeled for us. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen.